Glory to God. Well, if you got your Bible, why don't you go to Matthew chapter 16. I did not talk to them about what I was going to preach on tonight. And I do sometimes, I'll check the planning center to see what they had scheduled. Not before, but I'd already had this planned. And then I saw what they were singing tonight. And that last song, of course, I like, you know, we kind of went back in the Wayback Machine there at the end of the first set. You know, singing about we glorify your name, standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a presence of God in this place tonight. There's just a presence of God here tonight. Are you expecting tonight? Amen. I don't know. God might do something unusual tonight. You never know. Just expecting God. I've been expecting ever since. I don't know why, but when gave us out our assignments, when I kept looking at this date thinking something's different about that date. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look here in Matthew chapter 16. We'll start in verse 13. I'm going to read this verse from the New Living Translation. Another verse I'll read tonight will be from the King James Version. Here this says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kidngdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. My sermon title tonight is, Who Do You Say I Am? Jesus came to these disciples and he's on the back part of his earthly ministry getting them ready. In fact, out after this, he talks about them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and what's going to happen there. And this same Peter who spoke by the Spirit of God here yielded to the devil and said, oh Lord, no, that can't happen. You can't die, you know, and Jesus rebuked him after he blessed him. But that question, he said, who are others saying I am? And they said, well, this is what some are saying. But he asked them this second critical question, who do you say I am? That is the all-important critical question that determines a person's eternal destiny, but also determines the life that you'll live here on this earth. You know, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simple confession of who Jesus was, arising out from his heart. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. That confession we know, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, the Bible says we're saved. The very life and survival of the Christian and mankind and of the church rest upon this single conviction and testimony of who Jesus is. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. You are, he called him the Son of the living God. You're the Son of God, being in the same substance, one with God. 100% man, yet 100% God. You are the God-man. And he called him the Son of the living God, the source of all life, possessing the energy and power of life itself within himself. Who do you say that he is? You know, I'm not sure exactly that Peter understood what he said that day and all that was involved in what it means for Christ to be the Son of God, or what was going to happen at the cross and the resurrection that had not taken place yet at this time. But his confession was made. Notice the simple trust that arose from his heart as he received a revelation from God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's simple. Excuse me. God desires and longs for nothing more and nothing less than we join Peter in this simple confession. I believe you are this. Because what you believe about Jesus sets the course and should be the foundation of your life. Now, for many years, you know, I got saved when I was 19 years old, but I grew up in church. And it wasn't necessarily that I was necessarily taught wrong things about who Jesus was, but I was never taught to follow through and confess who he was. Even though every Sunday in our church, we read from the back of the hymnal. And those old Methodist hymnals, that's the church I grew up in, number 738, the Apostles' Creed. I think number 842 was the Nicene Creed, if I remember my numbers right. If I'm off, it doesn't matter. It was the words that were spoken. But yet, to embrace those and make those personal, no one ever told me that. And there's a lot of folks, you know, that live through life and they never are brought to that place, or sometimes they believe the wrong thing about who Jesus is. How many, you know, I'll never forget the summer of 1983, I got the great honor and privilege to go to Israel. And we were in Jerusalem, there at the Church of Gallicunta, St. Peter's of Gallicunta, which Gallicunta means where he denied Jesus. Don't know if you want a church named after your denial or not, but they named a church there. And we had a guide, his name was David. Now, it's interesting enough, the company we worked with, he was a Muslim. And so he's guiding us around, and he was our second. The first one we had for the first of the week, and then we picked up David. David was a friendly guy, so I was talking to him. I asked him, I said, now, Dave, who do the Muslims say Jesus is? I really asked him this question, who do you say he is? Well, he's a good man, he said, and he was a prophet of God. I said, well, okay. Now, I realize he's not trying to, he's got a group of Christians here, so he's not trying to get into a fight. But I wanted to push him a little bit just to see, you know, I said, so let me ask you this. So is that what is believed about Jesus? He was a good man. He was a prophet of God. Oh, yes, yes. I said, well, what about, you know, he claimed to be the Son of God. Oh, no. He said, no, that's a lie. No. I said, so, okay, then. I said, based on your testimony, then, this Jesus who lied about being the Son of God is a good man and a prophet. So to you, good men and prophets are liars. He said, I'll get back with you on that. 83, 93, 2000, about ready to 2020, still waiting. Amen. But see, he believed the wrong thing about who Jesus was. Glory to God. It's important in every situation of life. Pastor Craig talked this morning about there's going to be disappointments in life. There's going to be situations come in life because we have an enemy. But when those things come, it's what you believe about Jesus that's going to either bring victory or allow you to be controlled and stolen from by the devil. He is the true Messiah. He's not a near man, but he's the Son of God, sent by God. This question's personal. It's directed to every man. Whom do you say that I am? Every man has to answer. So he said, all of our eternal death, when I say man, I mean mankind, men and women, boys and girls, all have to answer. Our eternal destiny is bound to answer these questions. Look at Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. Thank God, you know, we've been taught here the importance of our words and our confession. So much of the time, you know, like I said, I was never taught that. And so I never got born again, even though, you know, after I had read Brother Hagin's little book, The New Birth, there wasn't anything in there that was really new to me other than his encouragement to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, it'd be great if it just happened because osmosis, you know, just happened to you. But no. Look at Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Look what Jesus said. Whosoever shall deny me. Wait a minute. Verse 32 first. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now I think it's interesting that Jesus was not just asking for them to, I want you to ponder on this, I want you to think about this, who do you say I am? He wanted a response. He wanted a confession. And here he's saying, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me, so many of the times we deny who Jesus is in our life and in that situation by remaining silent or by speaking contrary to what the Word of God says that Jesus is. Look in Mark chapter 8. I want to encourage you tonight that we are not the victims of this world's way of doing things. But we can be the victims of our own lack of action. You know, I love what the New Living said there in Mark 16, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden. And whatever you permit will be permitted. Well, now God just knows whatever I can handle. He just knows, you know, I don't know, we're talking about those mountains this morning. You know, and you may think this is a little funny, but this, you know, I'm old enough to have, you know, been alive while, but I used to like Elvis Presley's music, especially the ballads, you know, blue suede shoes and all that could do without. But when Elvis would cut down on a ballad, you know, because I really believe he had a call of God in his life to be a minister. In fact, Armand Morales, who was the still with the Imperials after all these many years, and they were part of Elvis's backup group for years. He said we'd do a concert, we'd sing backup with him, and then he'd keep us up. All the Imperials, they had to. And the Stamps Quartet, we had to sit there, he'd play the piano, and we'd sing gospel music till 4 or 5 in the morning, every night that we had a concert. And he said Elvis would play the piano and lead us and cry and sing just because he knew. I don't want to cry about it. Let's just go ahead and do whatever God called us to do, right? Amen. But he used to sing that song, "This time, Lord, you've gave me a mountain." God's not the one giving you the mountain. God's giving you the victory over the mountain. Amen. God, through Jesus, we can flatten the mountain and fill up the valley. Straighten out the path. Part the waters and walk through on the dry land. You find Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Our silence sometimes, it's as if we're ashamed. But we need to be like the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Luke chapter 12, please. Luke 12. Verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Angels of God are ministering spirits sent forth from God to minister for us, the heirs of salvation. These angels that hearken unto the voice of God's word, when we confess rightly who Jesus is and who he is in the word and who he is to us, he confesses us before those angels. What does that mean? He tells those angels, make it happen. Glory to God. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Philip has gone down by the Spirit of God and joined himself to this Ethiopian eunuch who's reading the scriptures in Isaiah, but he needs help to understand it. And God got Philip there, and then supernaturally takes him away. But Acts 8:36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What did Philip ask him? "You can be baptized, but who do you say he is? Who do you say he is?" When it comes, listen, when your body's racked with pain, who do you say Jesus is? When your bank account looks empty, who do you say Jesus is? When you're struggling in this situation, who do you say Jesus is? Who is he? Acts chapter 9, one chapter over here, and just a few verses down here, verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now notice, at least Saul was smart enough to say this, "Who are you, Lord?" That question, he'll give us an answer. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, against that's planted so well. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now finally, look at Romans chapter 10. I say finally, I'm not done yet, but it's the last verse I want to read, though. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Several years ago, during a week that Brother Hagin was out traveling, Dr. Ken Stewart, who was a former dean of the school and teacher here, but came and taught us students. And he taught on the character of God. But during that, he made this statement: when you know who he is, you can know who you are. And when you know what he has, you can know what you have. And when you know what he will do, you can know what you can do. And then he added, said, when you know that, you know who the devil is? Nothing. You know what the devil has? Nothing. And you know what the devil can do against you? Nothing. When you know those two things, who he is, who is he? Who do you say he is tonight? Who is he? He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, that I might be saved. He's the Son of the living God, that I might be God's son. He's the Lord of my life, that I might have life. He is the Redeemer, that I might be redeemed. He is the Healer, that I might be healed. He is the Deliverer, that I might be delivered. He is holy, that I might be holy. He is righteous, that I might be righteous. He is faithful, that I might have faith. He is good, that I might be good. He is gracious, that I might have grace. He is merciful, that I might have mercy. He is truth, that I might be free. He is love, that I might be loved. He's the light of life, that I might walk in the light. He's the good shepherd, that I might know his care. He's the apostle and high priest of my confession, that I might call things that be not as though they were. He's the shepherd and bishop of my soul, that I may not be orphaned. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that I might have faith. He is the King of kings, that I might reign in life as king. He is Lord of lords, that I might have authority over all the power of the enemy. Who do you say that Jesus is tonight? He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I love that one. He said he never leave me nor forsake me, that I might have boldness. Glory to God. Here a few years ago, I was made aware of a sermon by Reverend Dr. S.M. Lockridge, who went home to be with the Lord in the year 2000. But in 1973, he preached a sermon called That's My King. Some of you might have heard the back part of it. I was able to find the entire recording. It's a great sermon as he's addressing an entire group of ministers and talking about who's king. Now, he preached, there's several different versions of it, but the version I got, and I just, you know, I give him honor and credit for this, but this isn't what spawned my sermon. Afterwards, I thought, I got to thinking about this, and he said, I felt it's good for us to hear what he had to say. He said, the Bible says he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He is august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of every good thing, every good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes and the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. My king, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. He said, I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king, glory to God. He's always been and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him and he won't resign. Hallelujah. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all His. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And as Dr. Lockridge said this, and when you get through with all of the forevers, then amen. Hallelujah. Who do you say Jesus is tonight? When you stand in life, I don't care whatever Goliath has come roaring at you and declaring that he's going to kill you and he's going to feed you to whatever beast of the field there are, you stand up and you look him in the face and you say, you uncircumcised Philistine, you devil from hell, I stand here in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus. And you cannot defeat me. You cannot affect me. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is when it's midnight, when Paul and Silas sang praises unto God and prayed? At the midnight hour that represents the darkest time. I like what Pastor Craig said about that one time. I nearly took off running when I heard him say it. Have you ever thought about this? Midnight only lasts for 1 second. It's only the darkest time for 1 second. That's why Paul and Silas were praying. That's why they were praising God, because they knew this. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, 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 joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Who do you say I am? Jesus asks us. Who do you say he is? The answer to that question can be found in the Word of God, and only in the Word of God. Thank God for all of our great experiences that we've had and all the great things that God, but the Word of God is our source. If you'll go to the Word for yourself and you'll dig in that Word and you'll look at it and you'll say, Jesus, this is you. And because this is you, this is who I am. Because this is what you will do, this is what I can do. Let me read Matthew 16 once again from the New Living Translation. Who do you say I am? Verse 15 says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed. You are blessed, Simon, son of John. Notice that when Peter confessed who Jesus was, Jesus told him who he was. When you know who Jesus is, you'll begin to find out who you are. And we have yet to scratch the surface of what can be done by the child of the living God, who knows who they are because they know whose they are. But I want to agree with those that have come before me that said, in these last days there's rising up an army that does know that name, an army that's going to go forth. It's a new breed of people that are going to go forth and they're going to take that name and they're going to set the captives free. Do you know who he is? He said, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. When you know who he is, you can walk in authority. Hallelujah. And when you speak in that name, all of heaven goes on attention. And the heavenly host ready themselves. They're ready. They're ready. They're ready. They're ready to obey you, to do your bidding. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Let's everybody just stand up. Just stand up right now, right where you are. Just declare to him. Don't wait for me. Just declare to him. Tell him who he is in your life. Tell him what you know him to. Tell him who you know him to be. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my King. Oh Lord, you're my healer, my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You're my life, my light. You are love. Oh Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we bless you tonight, Jesus. We bless you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. Oh, it's only you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. At that wonderful name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord. To the glory of God, everything in earth, everything under the earth, everything above the earth bows to that name, that precious name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we speak your name, Lord. We call on that name. We speak that name, Lord, over our community right now. We speak that name over this nation and over the other nations of the world. We speak that name, the name of Jesus. Jesus. We speak your name, Jesus. 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 You are our help. You are the answer. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You're the way for our nations. You're the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're the way, Jesus. Truth. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon that name of Jesus, whosoever shall call that name, speak the name. Speak the name of Jesus in every circumstance. And you shall be saved. You shall be healed. You shall be delivered. You shall be kept safe. You shall be redeemed. Speak in that name. That name. That name. That name. That name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. It really is. It's all that we need. Hallelujah. All that we need is that name. That name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I had read about Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, talking about gathering around a person on their deathbed, calling and just speaking that name as they join hands and the power of God falling in that place. And then several years ago, in the late 90s, on a mission trip to Kenya, I was told a story, and I met the person, this young lady, who right before they were getting ready to have a crusade in that town and to preach the gospel out in an outdoor setting. In fact, at that crusade, the man that they called the maniac of the market was instantly set free by the power of God. And we preached another year in that church where his parents had donated and built because they were so thankful for what God had done in that church. And he was there and just in his right mind, dressed up real nice in a suit, just smiling all the time. But I met this young lady that they told me that right before that crusade where that man was set free, this young girl had died. And there was the host, this was in the host family that was hosting this ministry that was coming. They were the ones that were going to feed him and take care of him while they're there. And now their daughter has died. And she's there. They had laid her out on the kitchen table, which happens a lot in different parts of the world. She's there and people are coming and mourning over her. And they're all saying, well, we have to cancel this crusade. And the ministry I work with, in fact, it's the way things have changed right before service. He's texting me. It's morning. It's 8 hours difference there. He's texting, 9 hours right now. He's texting me, talking about what how he's been on his knees praying and different things about that. He told me, he said, I said, Lord, this is wrong. This is wrong. He said, what can we do? And he said, you put everyone else out but the father and mother, and you gather your team and you go in there and stand around that table and you join hands and don't let anybody say anything but the name of Jesus. And as they stood around, and I met the young lady, she's dead. They're getting ready to bury her. She's been dead for days. They're getting ready to bury her. I said, as we said that name, the power of God entered into her body, and she opened up her eyes and sat up. Called for her mama, and they embraced. She's raised from the dead by that name. That name. Now, you know, you hear stories, but you know, I met the girl. I met her. They told me, yes, this story is exactly what they're telling you. I mean, several people, yes, telling me the name of this that happened. That name. There's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's freedom in that name. That name, the name of Jesus. And I found this out. It doesn't matter in what language you say it. It still has the same power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you've never called on that name before tonight, and you've never been what the Bible says saved, you've never become a child of God, you don't leave here tonight. Do not leave here tonight. If anything else, this night was just for you. As I dismiss in here in just a moment, I want you to come down and talk. You ladies, talk to the ladies, men, talk to the men. If you need prayer for anything, they'll pray with you in that mighty name according to the word of God. He is Jesus. Seated on the right hand of God. Ever living to make intercession for you and I. And so we're under his watchful eye. He knows what you're going through right now. And he's already deposited into your account everything you have need of. Because he already paid the price for your healing. It's his riches and glory that your needs are met by. He is your salvation. And he's ready, ready, ready for you to receive all that he purchased with his blood. Just call on his name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You guys want to sing something? Sing something, Cynthia. Hallelujah.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
One more time, let's say his name together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Glory to God. You could be dismissed. God bless you. See you Wednesday night, Hour of Power.